Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my joy to look to the scripture with you once again this Lord's Day morning. Praise God. And so, my friends, if you can, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. And we'll continue in our sermon series based upon observations and reflections of my ministry trip to Israel. In this sermon series, we have been looking at precious truth from the scripture, and I've been sharing observations based on scripture that I made during my recent time in Israel. Praise God. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. And so, my friends, let us pray now. Father in the highest heaven, your plans and purposes are past our finding out. Oh God, how gracious you are, how marvelous you are, Lord. How great is your mercy. How severe are your judgments. We rejoice that you are all that you are in your great power, God. And we thank you especially that towards us who believe in you, your mercy, your everlasting mercy, your grace abounds. And that where sin abounded, grace abounds much, much more. God, thank you that you are able to bring such abounding grace to your people. And we pray for that grace once again. We pray again for salvation of people in Israel. God, we pray for good to come to the Jewish people. We pray that you will work in the midst of national Israel in our time to achieve your great and eternal purposes and bring Israel to salvation. We thank you for the good that you intend for Israel. And with Paul, we say too that our heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. We thank you for the word. Bless your hearers as they receive it. I ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, hear now the word of the Lord in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Amen. Praise God. And so we remember again this morning as we begin this sermon that Paul, a converted Jew who came to believe in Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, praise God, who came to know God through Jesus Christ, who lived for Christ, who died a martyr's death for Christ, tells us here, reveals to us in Romans 10 about God's dealings with the Jews, that his heart's desire and his constant prayer for Israel, his people, his nation, is that they may be saved. Praise God. And as I've been sharing truth with you, some of it rather difficult for us to handle, perhaps, regarding God's judgment, for instance, as we dealt with last week, we must relate that this is not anti-Semitic. No, with Paul, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we agree and say and share with him that we desire that Israel may be saved, that they may come into the blessings that we know as Christian believers. And today we want to talk more about that and how this desire and prayer for Israel is to be our heart's desire and prayer also. In Romans chapter 10, Paul relates to us that the Jews, because of unbelief, because they are zealous in their religion, because they don't know God and God's righteous requirement for them, which can only be obtained in Christ by a trust, a union to the living Christ, that because of their sins, they seek in their religion to know God in their own way and in accord with their own understanding. And yet, Paul relates in Romans 10 that Moses wrote about the righteousness which comes not of the law or of works, but the righteousness of faith that is counted as a man's in God's standing when he believes in his heart, when he doesn't attempt to go to heaven and pull Christ down, when he doesn't attempt even to go into the abyss and bring Christ up from the dead, but when he simply believes in his heart in such a way that he is moved to confession with his mouth, then it is, Paul declares, that that man is not put to shame. Whoever believes on him, on Christ, in this way will never be shamed. He is saved from his sins. And he says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is over both, over all, and he is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, in these verses, Paul declares his great hope and the simple truth that if a Jewish person, if Israel, calls upon God, they shall be saved by the Lord, because the Lord is rich. He is exceedingly generous to all who call upon him, Jew or Greek, that is, non-Jew. And then Paul relates in Romans chapter 10 how it is that God indeed brought the good news, glad tidings of good things, the gospel of peace to Israel. Praise God. He cites Isaiah's declaration of salvation through the Messiah. Praise God. He relates that God brought his precious truth to them in the Psalms, that Moses speaks of the great deliverance and salvation that comes to Israel, to any nation who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says Isaiah is very bold, and he says that he says, according to Isaiah, that Israel had rejected, would reject the Christ, and God would manifest himself to others who did not even ask for him. And he says there in Romans 10, the last verses, that God has stretched out his hands all day long to Israel, a disobedient and contrary people. Praise God. And so it is we see here, my friends, that God in his faithfulness has brought precious truth to Israel. He brought his son to Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ was born as a Jew, came with the good news. Israel, in their unbelief, rejected the Messiah, brought him to the cross. He was killed. Glory to God, he rose again from the dead to save God's people from their sins. And so it is that Paul expresses this great hope he has for Israel. And in Romans chapter 11, he continues to teach us that Israel's rejection of God was not total. That is, some believed in Jesus in the time of Jesus. Some Jewish people believed in him. And that Israel's rejection of Jesus would not be final. Amazing truth. And he concludes that God has, in his great control, providential actings, controlled and brought these events to pass to accomplish his great purpose. He is going to bring salvation to the Jews, and he has worked to do this in bringing salvation to the Gentiles, to provoke Israel to jealousy. And so the conclusion is that God's wisdom and knowledge are deep beyond our understanding and ability to find out. But God is working to deliver Zion and to turn ungodliness from Jacob. Praise God. And so, my friends, wonderfully, Paul is not without hope for Israel. And so it is that we should have great hope for Israel. Praise God. Now, let's just look at a few of these truths in a bit more detail. And then we want to make some application, final application, about these things. And so, again, Israel's rejection is not total. Praise God. In Romans chapter 11, Paul relates that he is an Israelite, but he has come to know Jesus, that God has not cast away his people. Praise God. He foreknew his people, which really connotes the idea, the truth that he loved his people before time. And so he then relates about how it was in the days of Elijah that for the most part, the nation had apostatized. But God reserved a remnant of people who believed in him. 7,000 men did not bow the knee to Baal, but God had reserved them for himself. This communicates the truth that God had brought these 7,000 men to faith in Christ. Paul says, just as it was in the time of Elijah, there was a portion, a remnant saved, though for the most part, the nation as a whole was caught in wickedness, unbelief, and great evil. And he says there in Romans 11:5, even so then, at the present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And that because this remnant is saved by God's election, and they are saved in God's grace, then it is that they are not seeking salvation by works. Praise God. So again, he repeats this great, most essential, necessary truth. We are in need of hearing it often, that those who seek salvation by works shall not obtain it. They will be blinded in this. But those who seek salvation by faith in Christ shall obtain it. And he remarks there in verse 8 of Romans 11, and he quotes here from the Old Testament, and he quotes Isaiah again, that God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear to this very day. He then quotes David, and he speaks about their eyes being darkened so that they do not see, and that they bow down their back always, turning their back against God. And so Paul relates from Isaiah and from David's writings the truth that the people have been given over in unbelief. They have willfully rejected God, first of all, and so they suffer the consequences, this hardening, this degree, this measure of darkness, of reprobation. But so it is that God has not given up on Israel as a whole. Praise God. He asks in verse 11 the question, have they stumbled that they should fall? That is the nation. And he says, certainly not. But through their fall, that is this time of judgment and hardness that has come upon them, then it is that God has worked to bring salvation to the Gentiles. Notice again, Israel willfully rejects God, his Messiah. God is working through this to save the Gentiles. Israel, according to Paul, sees the blessing of God that the Gentiles enjoy. They become jealous, that is, they begin to desire these blessings of God. And so it is then that Israel comes to God. Now, again, some of these events are occurring today, the events of Romans chapter 11. Some of them are yet to occur in the future, I believe. But the principle we find here is that judgment has come upon Israel and salvation has come to the Gentiles. But finally, salvation will also return to Israel. Praise God. And so the Jews are cast away. The world is reconciled. But the Jews will be accepted. Paul, in light of this truth, tells us in verse 14 that he seeks the salvation of Israel, that some of them, back to the remnant, back to the salvation of the elect, those God has chosen out of the multitude, that they shall be saved. Praise God. And then he relates to us a wonderful truth beginning in verse 16. He says that Israel is like a tree. It is the first fruits of God. It is holy. And so the tree in its beginnings back to Abraham is holy. And so it is that as a tree, that some of the branches are broken off. That is, that judgment comes upon the tree. The branches are broken off in some measure. And the Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, are grafted into the tree and become a partaker of the root. Again, simply the grafting of branches into the tree, which was holy in its roots. Praise God. And into the fatness or the grace that's found in the tree. And he calls the Gentiles who have been, if you will, grafted into this promised and blessed tree, that they should not boast against themselves. Do not be prideful, in other words, because you have received salvation. But he calls them to be humble, to be fearful with a godly fear, because God did not spare the natural branches. He lopped off many from the tree. He broke off many of the nation of Israel. He did not spare them in his severe dealings with them, but he brought the Gentiles to faith, in this sense, grafting them as branches onto the tree, which is holy, in his goodness. And so he calls Gentiles, he calls us here to understand God's providential actings with Israel, to humble ourselves for the great gift of salvation. We have been made a part of this holy tree. Though the branches were broken off, we have been grafted in. Praise God. The natural branches have severely been under the judgment of God, but the Gentiles have been grafted in. And so once again, in light of this glorious truth, Paul is revealing God's dealings with Israel. He says that he doesn't want believers to be ignorant of this mystery, a truth now revealed by the prophet in verse 25. He doesn't want us to be wise in our opinion or think in ourselves that God has simply rejected the Jews and found something worthy and noble in us and so taken us. No, we are called to humble ourselves. Salvation is of the grace of God to sinners everywhere, of Jew and Gentile. But he wants us to know that blindness or this hardening and judgment in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. In other words, God is saving Gentiles, bringing them as branches grafted into the tree for a time in his great plan for his creation, until the fullness of the time, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This leads us to believe there is a select number of people to be grafted in of the Gentiles. And so it is that God then will work in Israel to turn people of Zion from ungodliness, to take away their sins, to bring them to faith in the Christ, praise God, because of the election and because they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. The gospel will save them. Now, this is absolutely amazing. Again, in Romans 11, Paul concludes that, praise God, the mind of God is so great. Words fail here, but his knowledge, his wisdom is so great. It's unsearchable, his judgments to us. And yet God is working faithfully. He has revealed this mystery through the prophet Paul, that deliverance will come to Israel. And again, interestingly, in verse 28, he says, the unbelieving Jews have become enemies to believers, the Gentile believers. And that's exactly the record we see in the Bible and in some measure through history since the New Testament times. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. God had promised Abraham and the fathers that there would be a seed, that their progeny, their sons, would be blessed by God. And so God brought these great gifts and the calling of promised blessing and salvation to the fathers and also to the sons. And so it is that though the Jews have been disobedient, yet they will obtain mercy, praise God. They shall obtain mercy. Their disobedience will end. They will come to believe in God. They will become obedient again. And he says a remarkable thing here. He says, the fathers were blessed, though the Gentiles were disobedient. Praise God. God's light has brought the truth to all men, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, that we are unrighteous. We are disobedient sinners in need of salvation. And in that declaration, in that gospel light, he has mercy and saves Jews and Gentiles. So that Paul, he breaks forth into praise there in verses 33 through 36, that God's great wisdom is unsearchable, and that of God, of and through God and to God are all things to be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, just hold this simple truth in your hearts for a moment here. Men, Jew and Gentile, have been committed to disobedience so that mercy might be shown to the disobedient. They have all been committed to disobedience that God might have mercy on all. Praise God. And the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God has not forgotten his promise to Abraham and to the fathers. And so salvation will come to Israel. And in light of these glorious truths, we see that it is said today more Jews are coming to faith in Christ than ever before in human history. I attended a large Messianic congregation when I was in Jerusalem. It's composed of a couple of thousand people, I was told. It's a mega church, a large church. And it's also said that there are 120 Messianic congregations in the nation of Israel. That is, of Jewish people who have come to believe in Messiah Jesus, who have been saved from their sins. And that about 10,000 to 15,000, perhaps 20,000 people attend these 120 Messianic congregations. It's believed that worldwide today there are 350,000 Messianic Jews. That is, Jews who believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, who have believed in their hearts in him and repented of their sins. And it's believed that there are about 14.4 million Jews in the world, that's as of 2016, and about 6.5 million people in Israel. And so then we understand that there is a large number of former Jews who have fully converted to Christianity and no longer consider themselves to be Jews or Messianic Jews. They call themselves Christians. I don't have the stats for that population, but there is a great number in addition to the Messianic Jews of those who were Jews who have fully converted to Christianity and do not call themselves Messianic Jews. Praise God. And so this indicates to us Just as we see here in the Bible in Romans 10 and 11, for instance, that God is working to bring salvation to Israel. Praise God. And we also note in 2 Thessalonians 2 in 1 through 17, I won't read those verses for you, that Paul there deals with the issue of the salvation of the Jews, at least indirectly, in that he deals with some other factors that will take place before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you might want to read 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 17. And this details for us in events that will take place as prophesied before the Lord returns. And there, and also in other teachings of the Bible, primarily in the teachings of Paul, we find that there are some things that will occur before the Lord's return. Let me share these things with you. There are four of them. As we saw in Romans 11, there is this promise of salvation to Israel. All Israel will be saved. Now, what does that mean? Well, there are a few different views about that. But my personal view is that it's not that every Jewish person will be saved, but that the elect of Israel will be saved, and that most likely there will be a great pouring out of the Spirit and a great salvation of many Jewish people. And so, whatever that looks like, the Jews, all Israel will be saved. Salvation will come to the Jews. There will be many Jewish people coming to true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we also must remember that back in Romans 11 and in other places in the Bible, the truth is declared that Israel, the true Israel, spiritual Israel, is composed of true believers, of true people who were Jews, and of true people who were Gentiles. And so there is this great work of God which is going on until the Lord of Jesus Christ returns, in which the gospel is preached to all nations, that is, all people's groups. There is salvation, there is a work of God in all nations, in every people group. God is working to bring the good news to all peoples in this sense, and that will continue and must continue until the end. And so again, the elect of the Gentiles in all people's groups, the elect of Israel in all people's groups, of the Jews, will come to faith in Christ, will be joined together as spiritual Israel, and then the end will come. There are two other factors that are prophesied that must take place. We see these in 2 Thessalonians 2. The man of sin, some of the New Testament writers call him the Antichrist, will be revealed. And then also there is a great apostasy that will take place in the professing church, perhaps because of intense persecutions in the very last days, just before the Lord's return. But there is going to be a falling away, an apostasy in the professing church. And then the Lord will return. So again, these four things are prophesied and will take place. The salvation of the Jews, the man of sin will be revealed. There is a great falling away, an apostasy, and the gospel will be preached to all nations. And so it is, praise God, that God is working to fulfill these things powerfully in our generation, certainly. We see the great work of God presently in that. I saw that great work of God in my ministry trip to Israel. And so there is great hope for the Jews. Though they have been dealt with severely and righteously by God in the past, in their total history, actually, yet God is working in our generation, and we praise God for this, to save many Jews. He will continue so that, as the scripture declares, all Israel shall be saved. Now, let me just share with you that in my visit to the large Messianic congregation, the megachurch in Jerusalem, I saw there, and I really delighted in this, a large number of people. It was a weekday meeting. It was an evening meeting, and I'm guessing that there must have been perhaps 500 or more people there, but many of them, I supposed, were Messianic Jews. And it was quite delightful to hear them singing praise songs to the Lord Jesus Christ as converted Jews, as Jews who now believed in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to simply see this great work of God. And I thought then, and I'm reminded now, that is such a delightful sight. That is something that could not have been seen through much of human history. And so we understand from the Bible that there was always a believing remnant of Israel, but in most times, Israel, for the most part, were not a believing people. Moses struggled with unbelieving Israel. Praise God. And through their history. But to see such a large gathering of saved Jews loving and worshiping Jesus was really quite special. Praise God. And it's simply remarkable that in the many Messianic congregations in Israel, and it's said that the gospel is growing. More people are hearing the gospel. In fact, Bible distribution is a key ministry. The very powerful word of God is being taken by Jewish people, by Arabs and Muslim peoples, by many peoples in Israel. And we trust that the Bible is being read. God has purposed to bring the word of life to these people. We see in this God has not given up on Israel. And so God is surely working in the lives of many people of these different nations in Israel. Praise God. And so the cross is being spoken of. And again, in my view of Israel, perhaps being used to life in Uganda, when you look at people in a public setting, you don't see many Christians. But in reality, there are Christians, and for Israel, significant numbers of Christians who are meeting in the name of Jesus. I was told that it's the powerful cross that is drawing people to Christ, Jewish people to Christ, of course, and drawing many Palestinians to Christ. That Palestinians, for the most part, are being saved in a greater capacity than the Jews are. Interesting, isn't it? But the powerful cross is being declared. It's being read about in the Bible, and so it is that Jesus, the Lord of all peoples, is being magnified in this way. Now, quick application, obvious application for us. We must agree with Paul that God is wise and that his gifts and calling are irrevocable. We must agree with Paul that we too have a heart's desire for Israel. God had blessed Israel from the time of Abraham to this present day with men of great faith. He brought his own son to us as a Jew. We must love Israel and pray truly from our hearts for God's great salvation to come to Israel. And we must look expectantly for the salvation of the Jews. We must be ready for the Lord's coming. Perhaps that is to be very soon. And we must remember the power of the cross, the power of God to save his people of Jew and Gentile. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word today. Bless it in our hearts. Stir in us a great heart's desire and prayer to you, Lord, that Israel may be saved, that Jews, people from all nations, all peoples group, will come to know the glorious Messiah, the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.